Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is an encore broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. My guest today will be joining me in the second segment. It'll be Anthony Williams, the head women's basketball coach from Enterprise High School. And it's his first year taking over, so we'll talk about his new duties and how he'll take over. And I want to talk about, as our producer today is, of course, Jared King. Jared and I have been spending a lot of time together here the last couple of days. Not necessarily in the same room, but Jared produces the Colt 45s game. And if you haven't heard, I tweeted it on Thursday night, or yesterday actually, about the 20-inning game on Thursday night that lasted 6 hours and 25 minutes. We started right at 7:15. That went into the eighth inning. It was the Humboldt Crabs against the 45s. The Crabs were up 2, and then a 2-run home run from Daniel Duarte tied it in the eighth to send it into extras. Both teams scored 2 runs in the 10th inning, and then nobody scored again until the Crabs scored 2 runs in the 20s. We went 2 hours without runs being scored. Now, I don't usually blame people for this, but Jared and I have a text conversation, or we can type to each other during the game while I'm on the air. At 9:52, he responded, said, "If this goes to this is in the seventh inning, if this goes to extra innings, I'm walking out." Obviously, he was joking. Not 2 minutes later, Daniel Duarte hits a 2-run home run to tie it. We go to extra innings. So the 6-hour 25-minute game is due to our producer Jared King not wanting to get up or not stay up late that night.
I'm sorry.
And he kept apologizing in between every single inning that we went to break. He would just come on frustrated and just apologize to me. It was, but a little bit about that game. First off, it was unbelievable for a number of reasons. Obviously, 6 hours. It finished at 1:45 in the morning, I think, something like that.
1:45
in the morning. So, and Jared, you had to be here at what time the next day?
I had to. Well, I get up at 6. I had to be here at 7.
So you had very little sleep.
I had like 2 hours because it takes me a little while to wind down. So
okay, all right, man, that is
needless
unbelievable.
To say, I was pretty tired this morning.
Well, and the thing is, in the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, it seemed like every inning somebody was going to score. The bases would be loaded, nobody out. That happened a couple times, or situations where you're thinking, well, they're going to definitely score. Both teams were out of pitching. The 45 used 8 pitchers. The 45s had 71 at-bats, not even plate appearances, which is unbelievable. The Crabs had 76. So combined, that's what, 147? Unbelievable. The leadoff hitter for the Humboldt Crabs had 11 plate appearances himself. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I honestly started to lose hope around the 14th or 15th,
yeah.
And I just kind of thought, man, I don't think this game's ever going to end.
Yeah. No, that's how it felt.
I'll be here till I'm 50.
It went 9 innings. So you play a 9-inning game, obviously, and then 18 innings
would be double that, and we went two innings past that. The longest game ever that you looked up, Jared, was in 1920.
It was 26 innings.
26 innings. We were coming up on that, and it got called because of, you think he said light, right?
Yeah, that's right. They ran out of light.
They ran out of light. Well, unfortunately, yeah. So in between innings, Jared and I are talking and just hopefully trying to get through it. He's mad at himself for jinxing the game. Because baseball, it's definitely a jinx factor. There's no doubt about it. So last night, the game was 2 hours and 33 minutes. The 45s lost 7-4. And with the two outs in the ninth inning, the 45s bring the tying run to the plate, and Jared just texts me, no, that's all he said. Because if we go to extra innings and back-to-back nights, oh, goodness. But there was a nine-inning stretch in extras, by the way, where nobody scored. And again, base runners were on. It was just the most insane game I've ever seen. And it doesn't matter what sport it's been. I mean, truly unbelievable. I mean, the starting pitcher was Effenbach. He went four innings. Then Sam Wells came in to throw two. Morgan threw one. Jake Parent threw two and a third. That got us into extras. Paul Gallegos threw four and two-thirds. Noah Dobin threw two innings. Jake Gozo threw two innings. All of those scoreless. Mickey Meinhofer was the final pitcher who eventually gave up the two runs in the 20th inning. And even the players, I mean, I keep saying it because it's just truly unbelievable, but even the players were worn out. I mean, you could see the guys trying to, a lot of guys were trying to hit home runs to end the game. And it just, yeah, it was truly, truly unbelievable. And like I said, Jared in between innings would come on and talk to me, and we were trying to just figure out ways to keep ourselves inspired and awake. We talked about going to get Heavenly Donuts. We didn't actually do that, but we talked about it.
We did. I mean, we didn't. We talked about it, but we did not get the donuts, which
no.
I'm still disappointed about.
Yeah. Are you?
Yes.
I feel like it would have been harder for you to wind down if that was the case.
I'm still bitter.
I was the one who said I wanted to go to sleep. But, yeah, that was I'm actually, now that it's over, I said this to you last night, I'm kind of glad we were a part of it, because it's a good story. It, like, a lot of people truly wouldn't believe you. 20 innings. That's one of the things about baseball that I think is on the negative side a little bit, is because it can never end. We were going to play until somebody scored. I don't think nobody was going to concede. So,
well, it's kind of like being a part of a natural disaster. You don't really want to be there for it, but afterwards you can be like, I was there.
That's a really good point. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, that was two nights ago. We finished in the morning, and then last night's game, the 45s lost 7-4, so they've dropped three straight. They'll be back at it tonight in game two against the Solano Mudcats. I'm not sure who they're going to be pitching. I think they're probably pretty much out of pitching at this point. So they'll be back at it tonight, and then tomorrow night, game three of that series will be at 6:15. Tonight's game is at 7:15. But, yeah, like I said, it was truly unbelievable, something I've never experienced before. And, it tests you as a broadcaster. And also, you start by the end of it, you think you might have a mental illness just because you're living the same life over and over again, which is what Albert Einstein considers craziness, or I think it's being a psychopath or something like that. And that's how I started to feel late in that game.
It's insanity.
Insanity. Thank you, Nye. Yeah. That's what it felt like. Anyway. Coming up next, we'll have Enterprise High School head women's basketball coach Anthony Williams, my good friend, coming on the show. That's next here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hey. When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
A jury deliberation room filled with 12 men, ordinary people just like you or me who must decide the outcome of a murder trial. Experience for yourself as dramas run high, tempers flare, and personal prejudices are tested, all while the life of one 19-year-old man hangs in the balance.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present 12 Angry Men, written by Reginald Rose, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy Esther Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, June 16th through July 7th.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, producer Jared King on the show, segment two here this morning. What is it, June 16th? Somebody's got a birthday tomorrow. Jared's birthday will be tomorrow. He's actually taking the day off. Is that right?
That's correct. And I believe someone has a birthday the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I'm going to... So, yeah, Jared and I found out, what was it, last part of the 20-inning fiasco, we found out that we have birthdays on back-to-back days. So happy birthday to you, Jared, as you take the day off.
And turning 23.
You told me how old you're actually turning. I don't know if you want me to say it on the air.
32.
All right. All right. I'm joined by Anthony Williams, the former Enterprise High School star. What is it? Three-athlete star? Track, football, and basketball.
Yes.
And then... also a star at Simpson University. You ran track at Sac State.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Now, would you coach track at Shasta College for a little bit?
Yes, and the track club.
Track club?
Yes.
My goodness. So you're just full of everything right now. But I want to talk a little bit about you. Obviously, we're introduced as the head women's basketball coach for the varsity level at Enterprise High School, which congratulations for that. That's awesome.
Thank you, Connor.
I want to go back to your playing days at Simpson. So when I first started broadcasting, you were... in the uniform, what was that? Three years now. I remember specifically in the championship game in the Cal Pack against Cal Maritime. I'm sure you remember it as well. You guys were down 9 with like a minute and a half to go. You hit 3 consecutive threes to send it to overtime. Yeah.
And then fouled out.
Yeah. An unbelievable performance there. But anyway, it was a pleasure to watch you play all those years. So my first question for you is, because you're a very fast-paced style guy when you played, is your playing style similar to how you coach?
Yes. So we're trying to get up and down the court. We really believe in pushing the ball, pushing the tempo as much as we can.
Right.
And women's basketball, the tempo is a little bit different.
Right.
But we got some girls this year. We got some athletes out there who can really push it, really fly.
What is that transition like for you from playing men's basketball to now coaching girls' basketball? Is there any difference at all in the game itself or no?
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot different, the mental side of it. You know, women's and men are totally different.
Right.
But I think the biggest difference, and it's not a knock to women or, you know, girl athletes, is, you know, men are playing at the rim the whole game. You know, girls are playing, you know, 4 to 6 inches off the ground. So it's a lot different, and you'd be surprised kind of how that, you know, comes into play throughout the game.
What was your initial reaction when you found out you were getting the job?
Well, we were super excited. You know, I say we, you know, just, you know, me, you know, family, things like that.
Right.
We're just excited. This is kind of a dream come true. You know, we grew up three blocks away from the school, 7, 8 years old, here in the, you know, here in the bleachers, the crowd go crazy at football games. And
right.
So always going, hey, we want to be there at that school. And just kind of, you know, coming full circle, it's really a dream come true.
And you said your twin brother, James Williams, is going to be your assistant coach during the last break, which is awesome. I know James pretty well, and you guys have made a pretty good team together. I know you also help coach the Rain, what is it, Rain is your what it's called?
Yeah, Rain AAU.
Rain AAU together, so very awesome for you. Like I said, I watched you play a lot of games, and how do you try and teach players to play that up-style, action-packed basketball that you were so good at in college and in high school?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, especially on the girls' side, is just instilling confidence in these, you know, in these girls, and you let them know, hey, we're playing fast, we're gonna make mistakes, and that's just part of it. And it's okay to make mistakes, as long as we're learning from those mistakes. And I think, you know, as long as we're just repping that in practice, knowing, hey, like, you're gonna drive the lane, you're gonna be going too quick at times, but it's okay now in practice, because let's start to work it out. So when we get into games, it's almost second nature.
What are you like as a game coach? Are you more of a calm coach on the sidelines, or are you more amped up?
A little bit more amped
yeah.
up. Yeah, we get involved. I'm not saying I'm screaming,
right?
But I'm talking loudly.
Yeah.
And I like that. That's how my coach was in high school. And I really like that, you know, that style of coaching. And I think it was good, and I took it very well when I was playing. And I think it's, you know, it's just throughout the game, just not getting yelled at, but having your coach talking to you, you know, here and there about, you know, defensive schemes, you know, being in the right positions on offense, I think that was really good. And so I'm the same way.
Is there a particular coach that you've had, or maybe there's a couple that made you want to be a coach?
Yeah, Mike Hayworth, Coach Hayworth. He was my basketball coach all 4 years at Enterprise. Great guy, great with the X's and O's, but really just taught me to be a better person, a better leader, and a better man. Have a lot of respect for him, and so just kind of, I've always, you know, and Matt, you know, I knew I would start coaching one day. I just didn't know what sport, at what level.
Right.
And so he was a big kind of catalyst for me to get into coaching, especially in the basketball level. And then I could say, you know, Coach Deaver, my track coach at Enterprise, really was a big reason why, you know, I decided to coach track. So
my question is kind of leading in towards, you mentioned Mike Hayworth helping you be a better man. How much of that is coaching? Not only getting wins and losses, but improving these student athletes to become better people down for when they, you know, graduate high school.
Yeah, we think that's the most important thing, because, you know, we talked about this in the interview, and I think this is one thing that they appreciate about me is, like, you know, we don't, when you get older, you don't really remember the wins and losses. Like, you maybe one, maybe two wins here, maybe some losses, but you remember kind of the experiences you had, the time you had with your friends, with the coaches. And so we want this just to be an enjoyable experience for them. And also, you know, we really believe, you know, all four coaches in the program that, you know, this is a great opportunity for us to teach life lessons through the game of basketball that, you know, we all love it. And so it's just a good opportunity for us to do that too, and just instill different qualities and, you know, different, you know, characteristics in these, you know, in these girls.
What are the other coaches in your program? I know you said Esther Wofford is your freshman coach, who is a unbelievable player at the college level at Simpson University, and then Kai Strickler, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been blessed. We got a great staff. We're all very close to each other, and that doesn't always happen. You know, we got Esther. Yeah, Esther is going to be at the freshman level. My brother, you know, we're twins, so
yeah,
we have a good relationship, too, for the most part.
Right.
And he'll be at the JV level heading that, and then Kai Strickler will be assisting at the varsity level.
Awesome. Okay, so where do you get your passion? Obviously, you're a very passionate guy. It's very evident watching you play. Every time I talk to you, you're just a very passionate guy. Where do you get that passion for coaching?
Yeah, I think even the competitiveness, right? You know, my coaches, when I told them that I said, hey, I'm interested in coaching, they always said for us, it was, you know, when I played, I was so competitive, and I loved just being in the moment, being, you know, that competitive environment. And they always said, hey, that's what coaching's like. It's like you're almost in that, but you're not in a way. And I think that's kind of It's the thrill of the game, right? You know, even though we're not playing, it's still, in a way, you feel like you have some type of impact on the game.
Right.
But it's like those, you know, when it's tie game with 3 seconds, you feel that thrill even though you're not on the court. And so I think that's kind of where, you know, the passion lies, and in basketball especially. And then in track, on that side of it, it's like, you know, seeing these kids improve, you know, get personal best, you know, week in and week out. It's really just a thrill. It's almost like you're on a high.
Yeah.
Seeing that. And it's really awesome. And that's why I always encourage, hey, if you're interested in staying involved in some capacity, maybe ref or maybe become a coach.
So, or a broadcaster, by the way.
I know.
Well, if you're not good enough to play or coach, that's why you get into broadcasting. That's my pitch to young kids nowadays. Hey, if you're not good enough, you're not athletic enough, there's still a way you could be involved.
Right.
I ask this question to coaches a lot because it's fascinating to me. It's a more of a psychological question to deal with referees. Do you believe that if you are constantly on a referee throughout the game, they are more likely to give you a call down the stretch? Or if you're quiet most of the game to them, and then when you do jump on them, it makes them realize, oh, I did miss that call. Which one do you think can benefit you as a coach and as a team?
Yeah, so I only know the one side of it, is being on them all game and
okay.
Maybe not getting the call at the end of the game. So
I don't think
that's a good philosophy. We're, you know, amongst our staff, we're talking about ways in which we can improve that kind of, you know, ref to coach relationship.
Yeah.
Which we acknowledge and we know, hey, we need to be better. And so just trying to figure that out. So at the end of the games, maybe, yeah, it is that latter situation where it's like, you know, we've been quiet, we've been on our players, not the refs. So at the end of the
right.
game, they're like, oh yeah, maybe that was a bad call. But, you know, we're just kind of coming to the point where we got to, you know, talking to the refs at all probably isn't a good thing if we're saying it, you know, if we're coming at them in a certain type of tone. So
yeah, right. Well, you're a young guy, probably one of the youngest head varsity coaches in town. I'm probably the youngest, I would imagine. Do you think that your youth helps you relate to these young athletes?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. And I don't think that's a, you know, like a big disadvantage for other coaches.
Right.
I just think, you know, I'm almost a part of their generation,
right?
Just out of it now,
yeah.
Right? Generation Z. I'm a millennial, and
yeah.
So I really, you know, we can relate to them in a lot of different ways that maybe like older coaches can't. You know, whether it's a technology thing, like we get that.
That's the part.
Okay, you know, maybe water breaks are going to be on your phone, like
right.
Though some of the coaches don't like that.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I get it. Like I'm one of those type. But in other ways too, more like the lingo, the social, you know, media stuff. And you know, you hear it all, you know, hear it all the time. The girls are always talking about it and things like that. But I think, you know, being young, we do have an advantage in a sense with that kind of, with those kinds of things. Because we, you know, we use all that stuff too. Things like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's truly interesting that you said that, you know, text conversations, the social media aspect, it's a lot of things that 5 to 6 years ago, that wasn't something that coaches had to worry about. And now it's something you need to talk to your athletes about because it is so important. It is so, it's so a big part of these kids' lives nowadays, and it's very interesting. Where do you think the program is going to change under your leadership? Is there anything that you specifically think, because you're maybe a younger guy, there might be a way that you lead this program that hasn't been led before?
Yeah, and, you know, the first thing is, you know, Ray, Coach Herman had a great program.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Ray and, you know, people who were, you know, there previously. And I coached with Ray last year.
Yeah.
Obviously, he let me be a part of his program.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be coaching football with him this year. So a lot of respect there, a lot of love. He was my coach, too, in high school.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't think, like, we're coming into a bad situation. I think, you know, Ray really blessed whoever the next coach was going to be, put them in an incredible position. But, you know, some things that, you know, we think we're going to change maybe the culture in a sense, not, you know, completely change the whole entire culture, is, you know, the aspect of, you know, being accountable. You know, every girl, no matter if you're, you know, the number one, the best player, you're, you know, no matter if you're Jaden Matthews, the MVP, or, you know, maybe the 12th girl coming off the bench, you know, you're going to be held accountable and you're going to be, you know, the standard's going to be the same for everybody. And I think that's something that, you know, has been, you know, valuable in our lives,
right.
You know, as coaches, and something that we want to make sure we're, you know, that's going to be a central piece
yeah.
of, you know, our program.
It trains them absolutely for the future.
Yeah.
All right, getting into a little bit more of the basketball aspect of things. The versatility in basketball is getting huge, especially in the NBA, excuse me. Do you think that is starting to boil down to the college and now into the high school level, where positionless basketball and positionless players are more valuable because they can be versatile?
Yeah, no, we're not 1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah.
5.
Well, you're Mr. Versatile. I mean,
yeah.
You can play 1 through 4, so.
And I did, yeah.
Yeah.
So I totally understand that it is a different game. It is changing. and there's going to be athletes who can play. I think of, again, Jaden Matthews. She'll take the ball up for us. She'll play in the post for us, and she'll shoot for us. And so just having those players, you know, if you can get a couple of them, it's going to really help our lineups. But, yeah, we are trying to adjust our offensive schemes.
Have you noticed in the last 5 to 6 years at this level or even at the younger level where jump shooting or essentially just being there are more shooters than ever before because of the three-point shot now being revolutionized in the NBA, have you noticed more kids not only shooting more shots but practicing it more?
Yeah. So not only, you know, it's either you're shooting a three or going to the,
right.
You know, making a layup.
Yeah.
And, yeah, kids are not only is that all they're doing, but they're actually making more jump
right.
shots, especially threes now, than I think we've ever seen before probably.
Do you think that's a positive or a negative thing at this level to where it's kind of losing the mid-range jumpers kind of become a dying aspect, obviously at the pro level, but it's, as it boils down into the high school level? Because you'll go into a gym and you'll see a kid just jacking up threes without working his way out and then getting to that three-point shot.
Right, I think it's a good and bad,
right.
Depending on the player.
Right.
Leave it at that.
Yeah. Anthony Williams, ladies and gentlemen, the new head girls basketball coach at Enterprise High School. Anthony, my appreciation for you coming on today. It's always good to see you and good to talk to you today.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
We'll be right back on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hey, it's Bad Bob. Produce.
We've just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, Professional Cleaning Services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it forever furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings, and over 25 directories and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
This is an encore broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Segment three here at Sports Talk with Connor Sutton on June 16th. And wonderful having Anthony Williams on. Truly one of the great people in youth sports. Every time I see him, I don't get to see him all that much anymore, but when I do see him, it's always a pleasure. He always got a huge smile on his face. And you can just, he just oozes passion. He really does. And whatever he does, and that's why he's going to be do a fantastic job at Enterprise. Also, he's got a great crew around him, Kai Strickler, Esther Wofford, and obviously his brother, James Williams. So, yeah, he's gonna be awesome over there, and I'm really excited for him and excited for the program at Enterprise. We talked about a first segment, a 20-inning game against that the Colt 45s had on Thursday. Jared and I are still recovering. It's like a hangover without drinking. It truly is. But he and I are still recovering from that. That was a 6-hour and 25-minute game. Think about something you would do for 6-hour and 25 minutes straight. Can you think of something? Because I can't. But we figured it out what
sleep.
It is. Oh, well, thank you. Sleep. Did you sleep? How long did you sleep for that night?
2 hours.
2 hours.
Oh, man.
All right, I want to get into a little bit. I don't know if the U.S. Open round one, I don't know if everybody saw this, was an absolute disaster. I tweeted something about how asking if I was playing in that round because it seemed like there were a couple scores that I think I could have shot. Not actually, but if I was on a course not as difficult as where they were playing, only five players were at par or better. That's unbelievable. So U.S. Open's still going on today and tomorrow. All right, I want to get into a little bit of NBA free agency stuff. A story came out yesterday about Kawhi Leonard possibly going to L.A., being traded from San Antonio. And I just don't quite see it, and here is why. If Kawhi Leonard is gone, things become very, very difficult for Greg Popovich, the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. You're better off holding out and making him sit out a year. But it just doesn't make much sense to me. But if the Lakers do get Kawhi, first off, San Antonio isn't going to want to send Kawhi to a team that they're going to have to play 3 to 4 times a year, which they would have to do in the Western Conference. They would probably want to send him to a team in the East. But Kawhi Leonard's kind of one of those guys. He's a strange superstar because up until this, he was the perfect superstar. You never heard about him. He was never in the media. He was always very quiet. And you never heard any leaks from the Spurs. But now, and then the Patriots were the same way, and now all of a sudden, you're hearing these stories of Kawhi Leonard, who was cleared by the team doctors, but his personal doctors weren't ready, said he wasn't ready. Mentally, he didn't feel ready to come back. That was one of the big stories that came out before the postseason started. And now, this story, that the Lakers are trying to trade for Kawhi Leonard. The plan for the Lakers is they're going to try to sign LeBron James around their young group of Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Julius Randle. Julius Randle's up for a max contract this year, by the way. He's a restricted free agent. So they might not sign him because they want to have enough money to sign LeBron, trade for Kawhi, and possibly get Paul George. And everybody's thinking, oh, well, super teams is in, right? Kawhi Leonard, LeBron, and Paul George are almost all the same size. So you would have essentially three small forwards, kind of power forwards, on the floor once. It would make defending the smaller guards, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, a little bit tougher. But obviously, if they got those three guys, are they a favorite to win the West? I don't know. It's pretty close. Vegas odds had the Lakers at a 20-1 odds to win the championship about 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, they were at 6-1 after this story broke. So obviously, Vegas is kind of all in that LeBron is going to Los Angeles. Where else can LeBron go? Obviously, he can stay in Cleveland if he wants, but the way the Cavaliers have stacked up in the last year or two, it just hasn't looked good for the Cavaliers in the future. If LeBron leaves the Cavs, their value as a team drops by, this is an estimate, $300 million. That is absolutely insane. So if you're the Cavaliers, and you're the owner, Dan Gilbert, you will do whatever it takes to keep LeBron in Cleveland. $300 million value gone from one player. Obviously, he's the best player in the world, and that's one of the reasons why that's the case. But this is where he's from. He's from Akron, Ohio, which is right near Cleveland. If you can't keep him in his hometown, then obviously the organization has a lot of issues. And we've already kind of known that, and you've seen it because they've been under the microscope all year. They have Kevin Love, but other than that, I mean, we saw it in the finals. They just didn't look good. Other than LeBron and Kevin Love, who was inconsistent at best, that team is just falling apart. LeBron leaves, they're a top five. They'll have a top five pick in the lottery. So you're Dan Gilbert, and you're trying to keep LeBron in Cleveland. You are doing whatever you can, whether it's trading away draft picks. You will trade away the farm to get enough players to keep LeBron happy in Cleveland. LeBron's probably going to sign a max contract wherever he goes. And some of these max contracts now, they're getting so large. John Wall in 2022 is going to be making $47 million. And John Wall, by the way, hasn't even gotten to the second round of the playoffs. So LeBron James can instantly change a franchise. He's going to have to do it through free agency. But if LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George all meet up in L.A., that's not going to be just an easy fit. It's not easy for a team just to come in and have three guys who've never played together for extended periods of time, other than USA basketball, to come in and gel. It took the Warriors a while with guys who were all past friendly with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Kevin Durant, now winning back-to-back championships. But there's even talk of LeBron going to Houston. And here is how Houston right now is in a great spot. They have to figure out how to sign Chris Paul to a small deal. That's got to be the number one option. Chris Paul is 33 years old. He's injury-prone as of late in the last couple years. He obviously got injured in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. Did not play Game 6 or Game 7, which the Rockets lost to the Warriors. If they sign Chris Paul to a smaller deal, not a max deal, but close to it, they keep him. James Harden's under a big contract. Clint Capella is a restricted free agent. Now, here's how they can maneuver this, if they do it correctly. Teams are going to offer Clint Capella. Probably my Sacramento Kings are going to be one of them. A young center who can rebound well. He can also work well close to the rim. But LeBron James is also going to be probably offered by Houston. And that's a team that LeBron will probably think about. Chris Paul, James Harden, and now LeBron. That's a starting 1-2-3 punch that is tough to beat. Again, maybe only beat by the Golden State Warriors, but obviously very close. So if LeBron signs to the Cavaliers, then all this changes. But if he signs to the Rockets, the Rockets can basically hold out on a restricted free agent. So what's going to happen, what a restricted free agent means, is a team can offer Clint Capella. So say the Kings offer him a max deal, which somebody's going to, at least two teams are going to offer him a max deal. That's what the reports are. Basically, he can agree to that deal, and then at the very end of the free agency period, the Rockets can say, you know what, we're going to match that deal, which means then he'll come back to the Rockets. So what they're going to do is they're going to offer Clint Capella a deal, I would imagine, and then they're going to wait. To the very end of free agency, they're going to wait to see where LeBron goes, which, by the way, is going to be another, this is the decision part three, and this one might just be just as big as ever. So LeBron has all of the cards in his pocket right now. He can go wherever he wants. He's going to have teams pitching him. He's even going to talk about going to the Warriors, which would be unbelievable. So we've never seen a player have as much power as LeBron is going to have in free agency. Teams will throw the entire farm at him just to get him on their team. Because it shows how much value he is. $300 million of worth to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Truly unbelievable. So imagine this team, though, in the Western Conference Finals next year. Chris Paul, James Harden, LeBron James, versus Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant. That might be the best matchup in the history of basketball as far as talent goes. So I don't know where LeBron's going to go. He might go to L.A. He's got two homes there. He might stay in Cleveland. Cleveland is where I think he'll stay just because of those are the best odds. He's not going back to Miami. Philadelphia has been talked about. I just don't think that would be the best spot for him. Going to the West doesn't make a whole lot of sense either because he's got to work really hard to get to the finals. And now, but you even got to talk about the Celtics, who are probably going to be a dynasty. There's been rumors that Kyrie Irving is being offered by Danny Ainge in trades. So there's so much going on. I absolutely love NBA free agency and NBA trade talks at this time of the year. It's almost as good as the season because it's like you never know where these players are going to go. So LeBron James is just sitting back licking his chops right now. He's got all these teams are going to pitch him, and he can pick out the best three, narrow it down, and decide, I'm going to try to go win a championship. Because right now he's not chasing anybody but Michael Jordan's legacy. So we'll see. But if I had to guess, LeBron will be back in Cleveland. Maybe Kawhi and LeBron and Paul George meeting up in the Lakers could be interesting, and also LeBron in the Rockets. All of those could be unbelievably hot topics for the next 2 to 3 years, if wherever he chooses. All right, coming up next, we're going to give you a little update on the World Cup that's going down, and also a cool announcement that happened earlier this week that will benefit American soccer greatly here in the next 8 years. That's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Michael DeQuisto with his take on what's happening in our city, what has to happen in our city, and much more. Also, let's address what happened in that immigration issue and what happened to just plain civility and how we treat each other. All of this Monday here at Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickens.
Christians in India are experiencing an increase in persecution. They're only about 2% of the population, but still 30 million believers. Localized Christian groups and international watchdogs connect members of the ruling party to Hindu extremist groups implicated in religious freedom violations. Now, others have used divisive sectarian rhetoric to inflame tensions and called for new laws against religious conversions. As Christians in India face increasing persecution, take note that nearly one-third of Pacific Justice Institute's cases are with persecuted Christians seeking religious asylum.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
This is an encore broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Segment four here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. By the way, Jared, this is my favorite intro right here. I like this.
I like it, too.
Yeah, yeah. A little Dr. Dre, the next episode, instrumental. All right. It was just announced earlier this week that North America is going to be hosting the 2026 World Cup. America, Mexico, Canada. And I'm stoked for a couple of reasons. One, it means the United States will automatically qualify for that World Cup, which obviously didn't happen if the World Cup's happening right now. And I had Dan Anderson on last weekend, the week before, and we talked a little bit about the World Cup. And right now, my dream team to win it is tied with Argentina, Iceland it is, which, by the way, Iceland's abbreviation is ISL. Very confusing. But this is huge for American soccer. This could be the change. And I come on here and talk soccer quite a bit because I do enjoy soccer. I'm a very young soccer fan. If America starts to have our best athletes, because we have truly had the best athletes in the world, if we have to have our best athletes, our next LeBron, our next Kevin Durant, start to play soccer, things can change quickly.
Are you suggesting people will actually start caring?
Yeah, yes, I am. I mean, not the main people in the world don't really pay attention to soccer as far as America goes, but it's starting to change. I think the MLS is gaining traction fast. Jerry just saw the 5-0 score, I believe.
Yeah, Russia and
Russia
Saudi Arabia.
Russia beat Saudi Arabia 5-0. Yeah. Yeah, that was two days ago?
Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was Thursday.
Thursday, 2 days ago. That was the one game on Thursday. Anyway, so Russia dominated over Saudi Arabia. Cristiano Ronaldo had a hat trick in a 3-3 tie with Spain. Uruguay won 1-0. So, and then also Iceland and Argentina are tied at one. I believe that game's still going on right now, is it not, Jared?
Tell me what FT means.
FT means full time, so no, it's over.
Okay, well then, it was tied.
So it's finishing the tie. So Dan Anderson came on, he told me, hey, this is why you should watch the World Cup. And to be honest, I wasn't too moved, but now that the World Cup has started, and I'm not watching full games, but I'm watching it in the background, seeing all these clips, it is truly incredible how skilled these athletes are with the soccer ball. It's unbelievable. And if here in the United States we start to take advantage of this and start to have our better athletes become soccer players instead of football players, instead of basketball players, that could change everything. I mean, I'm not saying we have to have everybody do it, but if you have a couple of your athletes who are freak athletes become soccer players, it becomes huge. The soccer community is kind of tight-knit right now because, in America, I should say, because of the fact that it's not very common to be a huge soccer fan. Basketball, it's pretty common, and football, it's pretty common. Baseball, as I mentioned, is going to be dying shortly. Not shortly, probably in 20 to 30 years. Jared and I are laughing because of the 20-inning game on Thursday, so we're a little tired of that. But if 15% of the great players in America play soccer, we become legitimate contenders in the World Cup, which the last World Cup, even though we're not in this one, we got out of the group play, out of a tough group, and obviously lost in the next round. But here's how soccer in America is going to change now that hopefully the World Cup is going to be in 2026 here in North America. The younger generation is going to stop watching baseball and start watching soccer. Pretty much everybody growing up will play soccer. I played soccer. I wasn't any good, but I played it.
I used to love soccer when I was a kid. Yeah, I played it
so
for
what happened
years.
Is my question, then.
What do you mean?
Why don't you just stop paying attention? Or
well, I never loved been playing a soccer it, fan? But I just couldn't watch it. I mean, just like Little League. I love playing baseball. It's hard to watch because of the pace of the game.
Interesting. But soccer is a sport that if you get in and you start to love a team, it's truly unbelievable. The last World Cup was the first World Cup that I actually paid attention for men's, and I remember Clint Dempsey scoring that goal in the first game against Ghana, and I was instantly hooked. The MLS is growing. Soccer is growing in America, and there is more money in soccer in the MLS coming because it's becoming more and more popular. Obviously, there's expansion teams coming left and right. FC Cincinnati is going to get an expansion MLS franchise. Hopefully, Sacramento here soon. Nashville is going to get one. So it's growing left and right. It's growing across America. And with guys like Christian Pulisic, who is, I believe, under 21 still, plays for Dortmund out of Germany, which is one of the top clubs in Germany, truly unbelievable. The problem is Pulisic had no help in World Cup qualifying. But there's this new breed of young soccer players on the U.S. national team. And around these guys, and with the leadership of Tim Howard and Clint Dempsey, who are going to mentor these guys, we could become legit contenders in the world. Right now, I think we're ranked 24th after not making qualifying. But I think this is what's next for America. It's a sport where, and one of the reasons why I think it's popular in Europe is because it's a sport where you can drink and watch and have a good time at the games. If you haven't been to a MLS soccer game, you have to experience it because it's something unlike anything I've ever seen as far as the atmosphere. Every sport has its own atmosphere. Baseball's a little more laid back. Football, it starts to get hyped later in the game. Basketball's a little more of a fun atmosphere. And soccer's the same way. It's a sport where you can go to the bathroom, come back, and not miss anything. But when it gets down to the last 25 minutes, when both teams are trying to score that goal that breaks the tie, it's something unlike I've ever seen. And it's truly unbelievable. Forget baseball right now. The games can last 6 hours as it did on Thursday. Baseball is going to lose the younger crowd because of how long it can take. We know how long soccer is going to take. 90 minutes, a little bit more if you go to extra time. So you know how long it's going to last. It's the next great sport in America. It is. And with this new news of America being a main contributor in hosting the 2026 World Cup, I think more and more people are going to start tuning in and paying attention to soccer. Because the ratings are up. Obviously, now that America's not in the World Cup, it's not as high as it should have been, because Fox paid a lot of money to broadcast this World Cup. But now that America's out, they think they're going to lose a lot of money. But you'll be surprised at how many people still watch these games, even though they might have no implications at all. But what I'm saying is soccer's going to grow fast. And by the time the 2026 World Cup, which is in, 8 years, by the way, back in the day, didn't 2026 seem like a fictional year? Something that would never happen? And now it's coming up in just 8 years. Jared will be in 2020. You'll be 40 in 2026, Jared.
Shut up.
Anyway, soccer is the next great sport in America. Jump on board if you're not, because it's coming. Figure out a way, people. I'm telling you. It's going to be the new basketball, the new football, probably not as big as football, but it's going to grow. It's going to grow fast, and it's going to continue to grow. All right, we had Anthony Williams on today. We talked about the 20-inning marathon game that Jared and I had to stay awake through. But as I mentioned, kind of enjoyed it afterwards now. Looking back on it, it was something I'm glad I was a part of. So, have a great rest of your Saturday. Father's Day's tomorrow. It's also our producer Jared King's birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday to Jared.
Thank you.
And so that'll be exciting. He's taking tomorrow night off as the producer. But we're going to go out the way we always do with a fun song. Let's hit it, Jared. What song we got today? Oh, my goodness. It's always good stuff.
We are who we are.
Yep. Thank you guys for joining us here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Have a great rest of your weekend.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew opens 7.